If you can turn with me in God's word, please, to Psalm 139. We come in our study in the doctrine of God to the omniscience of God. And that's where we are tonight. Remember, we thought of the infinity, or God is infinite. We looked at that last week. And now this really flows out of that. The omniscience of God. Psalm 139. We'll just read verses 1 down to verse 6, because this psalm breaks in to different parts. You have the omniscience we look at. It also breaks into the omnipresence of God, and then also the omnipotence of God, all in this Psalm 139. And we'll take one each time separately. But for tonight, the omniscience of God. Psalm 139, verse 1 to verse 6. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Psalm 139. David presents many truths about the only true, living, eternal, infinite, immutable God of heaven and earth. The verses that we've read in verses 1 through 6, David starts with the truth that our God, his God, is omniscient. And that word omniscient is made up of two words, a theology word. It's made up of two words. The first word, the prefix omni, O-M-N-I, means all, whereas the word science means knowledge. It comes from a verb meaning to know. And so putting these two words together, we get the phrase, the omniscience of God, or God is all-knowing. Remember last week we looked at God is infinite. That means God is unbounded, unlimited, unrestricted. Now flowing from that, we see God's infinity in his omniscience, meaning he is all-knowing. His knowledge is unrestricted. His knowledge is unhindered. His knowledge, his sight, his understanding is eternal, infinite, and unchanging. Psalm 147, verse 5 states, "Great is the Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite." We learn in Psalm 147, verse 4, "He telleth the number of stars. He calleth them by their name." So there is his understanding, his knowledge, even of the stars that he created. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." And what a wonderful thought that is in thinking about redemption. The Lord knows them that are his. God's omniscience means God's knowledge is all-knowing. He knows all things at once. Our knowledge is what is termed as successive, meaning it's always advancing, always growing. We know more today than we did maybe last week or last month or last year. Or you could say you know more now than you did 10 years ago. And maybe you would even say, if I had known that 10 years ago, it would have helped me back then. Our knowledge is always growing. However, with God, God's knowledge does not grow. His knowledge is perfect. What we call past, present, and future. To God is the eternal present. He knows everything at once, or everything at present. There has never been a time when anything was unknown to God. And there will never be a time when anything is not known to God. There's nothing for God to learn. We who are finite, we are always learning. But there's nothing for God to learn. He knows everything, the end from the beginning. And that's an amazing thought. God knows all things. His knowledge is eternal, infinite, and unchanging. And so that's a wee thought there regarding the omniscience of God. He is all-knowing. But how does the all-knowing God, or that thought that God is omniscience, how does that apply to our life? How does that apply to your life? How did that apply to David's life? Because that's what David is getting at in this psalm. Since God is all-knowing, then David is making the point. He knows everything there is to know about my life. He knows everything about your life. Your life is known by the infinite God. He knows everything. There's no limitations, no restrictions, no unclassified information about your life or my life. He is the Creator and the Redeemer. He knows our frame, that we are but dust. He has created His creation. As we search the Scriptures, we find that God's omniscience is revealed even in the Lord Jesus Christ, because John chapter 1, verse 47 to 48, we read of that account when the Lord saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." And so the Lord sees us. He knows all about us. There's nothing hid about our life from Him. So how does that play out in our lives day by day? Well, notice four simple thoughts as we think about the omniscience of God. Even as the Lord said to Nathanael, "I saw thee." There's nothing in my life that is unknown to God. I want you to grasp that. Nothing in my life, nothing in your life that is unknown to God. David starts in verse 1. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." And so David acknowledges that God knew him. And this goes back even before David was born. Because in this psalm, in verses 13 through to verse 16, and especially verse 15, David said, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth." Every detail about David's physical frame, even within the womb, was known to God. He is the designer of all creation. You think even of Jeremiah. Remember Jeremiah, even when he was in the womb, God had called him even to be a prophet. So even in the womb, the child is known unto God. And there again is a wonderful lesson regarding the preciousness of life and what we believe that Scripture is against, and that is the taking of the life of that little one within the womb. And so here we have the preserving of life. Even in the womb, there is life. You see, when a child is in the womb, the doctor's knowledge of that baby is limited and restricted. It takes scans, and at certain times throughout the year, to monitor that child's growth, to keep an eye on the heartbeat. And over a certain number of weeks, only by a certain scan will the doctors be able to determine if the boy or if the child is a boy or a girl? And if it would happen to us when the picture wasn't all that clear, they said you'll have to wait until the next scan. Or if you want to pay money just to top up things for them, you can pay for an extra scan and then you'll have a better picture and there'll be no doubt on that day. And so doctors, when it comes to the child in the womb, they are limited. There's restrictions. They have to depend upon these scans and all these different things. The doctor just cannot look at the belly and say, oh, by the way, that child you're having is a boy, or that child you're having is a girl. They don't know that. They have to depend upon scans and all these different things. However, that's not the case with God. He sees and knows everything, even in the womb. He knows that child already, if it will be a boy or if it will be a girl. Because in Mark chapter 10, verse 6, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. So he knows all about even the child in the birth, in the womb. He knows about the events leading up to the birth, the exact time when the child will be born, all that will take place during the child's birth. Every single detail is known by the Lord. And that's what David is getting at here. Thou hast searched me, thou hast known me, even my substance, every detail about my birth, even when I was in the womb. Lord, you knew all about me. Even when I was in the womb, you knew every detail about me. David glorifies God and he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so since there's nothing unknown to God about David when he was in the womb, then there's nothing unknown to God about David's, there's nothing known unknown to God about David's complete life from his birth through the course of his life. As he says, my times are in thy hand, right up to David's very death. Again, Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. We learn even the very hairs of our head are numbered. The Lord knows every single one. The Lord knew everything about David's life. Again, David testified in Psalm 37, verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And that word appointed is the word that means reserved or laid up. Something that is reserved for a particular time. And so Paul says it is reserved. It is appointed. It is set unto men once to die. Do you know that? Just as the Lord knew the day of your birth, so he knows the day of your death. Just as he knew all the surrounding details about your birth, so he knows all the surrounding details about your death. Because it's a day appointed. It's a day set. None will escape it. And so this is a solemn truth. And every day we live, we are a day closer to that appointed time. The Lord knows everything about our life. There's nothing in your life that is unknown to God. I know there's someone, and I'll not state their names, but in this congregation who are waiting on a child to be born. Praise the Lord for answered prayer. But I cannot tell them when their child will be born. But the Lord knows. And as we said here in this solemn truth, all of us will die at some point, but we do not know the day of our death, but it's known by the Lord. John chapter 11, verse 14, Christ told his disciples that Lazarus is dead. Although Christ was a number of days' journey away from Lazarus' home. And yet he knew Lazarus was dead. So in this thought, David has confidence in his God. And because David knew his God is omniscient, his God knows everything about him, David could rest in that truth. And even through life, even through death, he would fear no evil, because there's nothing in his life that is unknown by God. And I want you to know that. Whatever you face tomorrow, the next day, or the next week, unknown to you, but it's known to the Lord. There's nothing in your life that is unknown to God. Notice secondly, there's nothing in my life that is unexpected to God. Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Again, simply meaning the Lord knows about your path. That includes the joy and the sorrows that we experienced. It would be right to say that when certain situations arise in our life, whether they are joyful occasions or whether they are sorrowful occasions, at all times, they are unexpected. They come upon us suddenly. Someone gives you a gift, you weren't expecting it. Wow. Or someone passes in the home, or a family friend, or whatever it may be. It suddenly happens. You weren't expecting it. It was unexpected to you, but it was not unexpected to the Lord. He knows everything about us. He knows who we will meet and when we will meet those people. You can remember Mark chapter 14, verses 13 to 15. The Lord advised his disciples to go and make preparation for his own table, the Lord's table. And he said unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And so the Lord knew where they were to go and who they were to meet. Again, Acts chapter 9, verse 11. The Lord said unto Ananias, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Nothing catches God off guard. Nothing catches God unexpectedly. Nothing occurs that he did not know about or has not planned. That's why we have to follow everything we've learned in this study. We've learned about God's eternal decree, what he has purposed, what he has planned. Nothing can happen outside of God's decree. Nothing can happen outside of God's plan. And so here we have it again. Therefore, God has decreed your whole life, every single thing, every point of it. He's permitted things to come into our life. And so, while it may catch us off guard or be a surprise to us, yet it's not unexpected to God. He knows the trials, the adversaries, the troubles that we will experience tonight, tomorrow, next week, next year. He sees the event in our life take place before it already happens. Even in the life of Job. That's why Job could say in Job 23, verse 10, he knoweth the way that I take. The Lord knows the way that I take. He knows the way that I will take today, tonight, tomorrow, and next week. Remember in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, when the Savior warned Peter and warned the disciples, Satan hath desired to have you. And that word you is referring to the whole company of God's people. Peter, Satan is coming after you. He's coming after them all. He's coming after all of the disciples. He wants every one of you, bit by bit. And he's coming for you, that he may sift you as wheat, that he may shake your life. but I have prayed for thee. And that's singular in the original. In other words, Peter, the devil is out to get every one of those disciples, my disciples, the crowd that you're with right now. He'll go for them. They'll shake them. But Peter, he's coming for you now. He's coming for you next. He's coming for you soon. And we know that, don't we, in the denials and all the things that took place after. And therefore we can say in this context, the Lord is after each, or the devil is after each and every one of you. Satan is out to get all of God's people. But there's ones he picks on at each time. And he ruins that life, then he can move on to the next one. And therefore the Lord knew before the trial would even come, before the test would even come, he's saying, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you. And therefore the Lord knew all about it. He knew when Peter would be tried and would be tested, as he does in our own life. But he always makes that way of escape, as we learned in the life of Joseph. Again, Mark chapter 6, when the disciples, they spent time in the Savior's presence. They heard the preaching of the Master. And the Lord constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side. So they were in the will of God, obeying the word of God. Go to the other side. They didn't want to. They wanted to stay with him. No, but he constrained them. Go in the ship and go to the other side. And we learn, don't we, that when they got into the ship, the Lord went up to the mountaintop to pray. And as they were in the ship, the wee boat, going across the other side of the lake, a storm came. And that storm was contrary unto them. And they were toiling, they were rowing. They thought the boat was going to overside, and they would drown, and fear overtook them. And where was the Lord? All the time he was in the mountain. He was high up and they were below. But what does the Bible say in Mark chapter 6 verse 48? He saw them. And that word saw means to have knowledge. It means to understand. It means his eyes were always on them. Even when they were going through that hard time, he knew all about it. You see, remember, they had been in his presence that morning and he had given them a word, the things that they had learned, the things that they had seen. And what they learned that day is that in every situation, he meets the need. In every trial, in every trouble, he is always the answer. And so what he did, he put his disciples through the test to make sure when they were in that time of need, they would turn to him and say, Lord, we're in this time of need. Help us. But they failed. They forgot what they had learned. And that's why when we come to the preaching of God's word week by week and on Wednesday nights, God has something for you to learn. God is preparing you for something that will take place in your life or another life, or in another person's life or another day. And the whole point is this. He's preparing you for that, that when that situation comes, you can turn around and say, Lord, you are in control. Lord, you can meet the need. But so many times, like the disciples, we think on the situation and not the Savior. We think on the storm, the trial, and not the one who is sufficient. The Lord saw them. He never took his eyes off them, and he came with a word of comfort. And therefore, child of God, want you to know, while nothing in your life is a surprise to God, it doesn't catch him off guard or unexpected to him, when it happens to you, he never takes his eye off you. Want you to grasp that. He's always thinking of you, always praying of you. He always sees you. His mind is filled with you. You're never out of his thoughts. As the psalmist said, poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. David said in Psalm, because, well, before I get to that, remember that scene was at night. when they were in that ship in the darkest of time. And so you may go through the darkest of times in your life. And yet David said in Psalm 139, verse 12, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. The light and the dark. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. In other words, no matter what time of the day, the Lord always views his people. His eyes are always upon his people. He'll always have his people in his prayers. And spiritually speaking, when we go through the good times, the light times, or the trials, the dark times, they're both alike to the Lord. He keeps his eyes upon us. During the daylight, the night season, he knows every blessing and every battle. So there's nothing in my life that is unknown to the Lord. There's nothing in my life that is unexpected to God. Notice thirdly, there's nothing in my life that is unnoticed by God. Again, David said in this Psalm 139, verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. What a blessing to know. There is nothing in my life that is unnoticed by the Lord. You may have a need, whatever that may be, and you're anxious about it. You think of the rise of living costs, bills, test results, whatever it may be. And he knows already. He detects already how you feel about it, how you feel going into that test, or what you're waiting on, or what you expect, whatever it may be. He understands every worry, because nothing in your life goes unnoticed by him. Again, you may have come into this room with a burden, a distress, looking after a loved one who's not well, or a financial pressure, or waiting on certain results, whatever it may be. And as it is, we're good at not letting other people know about that. People asked, how you doing? Yeah, well, everything's okay. And then you get out the door, got past that one, okay. And then go home and worry. But the Lord, nothing goes unnoticed with him. He sees everything. He knows every feeling. He knows every tear, every heartbreak. Nothing goes unnoticed. He's a friend closer than a brother. Oh, Jesus, what a friend in him we have. He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. He's the one who guides us. And therefore, there's nothing in your life unnoticed by him. Even in the home, you may try to hide your feelings from the one in front of you to try and put on a brave front for them. But inside, you're shaking, you're panicking, you're fearful how it's going to happen or how it's going to work out or what's the next stage. But the Lord knows all about it, and he knows all about how you feel. And therefore, you can come to him, because we learn in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, the Lord teaching his disciples, take no thought of your life. What shall ye eat or what shall ye drink? Nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Take no thought. That phrase means, be not anxious. Don't let these thoughts hold you, keep you as a prisoner. Don't be anxious about them. Don't let them eat at you, because we do that. But the Lord's telling us not to, because verse 32, your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of, all these things. And again, that word knoweth is the word meaning to see, to have knowledge. Matthew 6, verse 32. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And that is the same word meaning the Lord understands, the Lord sees, the Lord knows, the Lord has knowledge that ye have need of all these things. And he is the one that is able to meet the need. What he says to you, as he did at the end of that chapter, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Again, John chapter 6, the same lesson. The Lord's teaching his disciples another lesson. And we learn in verse 5, the people have gathered, the multitudes have gathered to hear the Lord, and they're hungry. The disciples are hungry. And so the Lord says to Philip in John 6, verse 5, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him. That word prove means to test. It means to see how this can be done. And so the Lord is testing Philip. Philip, here is a need. People are hungry. People are in great need. Where can we get bread to feed them? This he said to prove him, to test him. The whole point is this. Philip should have said, Lord, I don't know, but one thing I do know, what I've learned by being in your presence, is you can meet the need. No matter how big, how hard it may seem, there's nothing too hard for you. But instead, Philip began to go on, and you read the verses. Well, Lord, there's just not enough bread here, and we only have a little bit here, and all the rest. But no, it's interesting. Verse 6. Let me read verse 5 and verse 6. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him. This he said to test him. Because verse 6, for he himself knew what he would already do. In other words, the Lord knew what he was going to do already. How he would supply the need. But he just wanted Philip to say, Lord, you can meet this need. But again, Philip had failed. He had learned the lessons. And we're all like that, aren't we? We learn the lessons. But when we're put to the test to learn them, it's like an exam, isn't it? You remember your school days or children now, they study for a test. And when they do that test, the questions are based on what they've learned to see if they've learned it. And that's the whole point. The Lord teaches us truths and from his word that when he puts us to the test to see if we will give the answer, Lord, you are in control. You can meet this need. We feel, we panic. Oh, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. Lord, have you forsaken me? Lord, have you forgotten me? Lord, have you changed? And all these terrible things. When all the time the Lord does it, they say, I want you to acknowledge I'm the answer. I'm the bread of heaven, the bread of life, as he was on that occasion. The people were fed. He knows the need of his people, even before that need ever arises. He's already made provision to meet the need before it troubles our thinking. And so there's nothing in our life that is unknown to God, unexpected to God, or unnoticed by God. Finally and briefly, there's nothing in my life that is undetected by God. Verse 4, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Every single thought, every single word that David had spoken, Lord, thou knowest it all together. That ought to cause us to really to think of what we think about or what we say, not only any time, but also in God's house. Lord, thou knowest it all together. Anything we think, and no one knows about it. Like, I don't know what you're thinking right now. Watch this, but I would hurry up and go on, stop here and all different things. I have things to do here, whatever I get on here and all the rest. And things that are whatever things, I don't know. But the point is, none of us know what each one of us here are thinking. But the Lord does. Even things that we speak, even things that we mutter under our breath, even when the preacher preaches or someone says something, you'll go, the Lord knows it all. And David Grasp that. The Lord knows everything about me, not just in my life, but every word I speak, every thought I think, every action. He knows every single thing because nothing is hid from him. Again, remember Joshua chapter 6 through 7, when Achan had stolen the Babylonian garments, those garments, things that belonged to the Lord, the treasures, when Jericho's walls were brought down and the people were not to take them. And they all went out to battle, but Achan was by himself and he stole them. No one else knew. But God knew. And what was the sign that God permitted everybody else to know? A lack of power. Defeat. Because whenever Israel went into battle, they were defeated in battle. God permitted them to get beat. And Joshua came, "Lord, I don't understand. You've promised us victory. You've given us victory here and given us victory there. But now we've went up again and we've been defeated. We've lost." The Lord responded, "There's sin in the camp." Because sin will always bring a lack of power. Sin will always bring a lack of power. And Achan was found out as the one. Sin is in the camp. And his sin was dealt with. And only when his sin was dealt with and he was punished did the people learn victory. And so there's every single detail the Lord knows. We don't have power in prayer, power in preaching, backslidden state, desire, whatever it may be. The Lord knows. Again, we learn he will call all men to give an account. Romans chapter 2, verse 2, and Romans 14, verse 10, and onwards, we learn believers will give an account of their service. The unsaved will give an account of wicked deeds. 1 Kings 8, verse 39, "For thou, even thou, only knowest the hearts of all the children of men." Naaman 1, verse 7, "He knoweth them that trust in him." Psalm 1, verse 6, "The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, the way of the ungodly shall perish." Isn't that amazing? In every meeting, the Lord knows who is saved and who is lost. Who's backslidden? Who's on fire for him? All this truth, the omniscience of God, he is all knowing. He knows everything about me. David said in verse 6, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." In other words, it causes me to stand in awe, causes me to stand in amazement in the presence of my Savior. He knows everything about me, my life, every situation. And therefore, I come and I worship him. O Lord my God, how great thou art. Your God is omniscient. He knows everything about you. And I trust these lessons tonight will give help as we go about our day today, that the Lord is in control of all our lives. For his name's sake, amen.